Good morning. We have just a couple of announcements to make today. First, if you are interested in sponsoring a month in the 2023 church calendar, you need to contact the church office no later than November 1st to select a month. A donation of $100 is requested. Apparently, there's some issues with time constraints, and customizing photographs for your sponsored month may not be possible. Also, want to remind everyone about your completing your covenant commitment cards. They need to be completed and put up here in the basket on the altar. We're going to be doing that through November 13th, and then on November 13th, they will be dedicated. Also, a reminder, it's in your bulletin, about going online to be able to do your tithes and offerings online. There's a QR code in the bulletin that you can use, or you can go to the website, and it's very easy to do there. I actually did it myself the other day, and if I can do it, you can do it. Also, just want to remind everyone about the meetings with Pastor Dale. The first one was this morning at 9 o'clock. They're going to be on Sundays at 9 and on Thursdays at 5:30. There are sign-up sheets in the Narthex and the elevator lobby. And also, if you are interested in perhaps hosting a meeting with Pastor Dale at your home, please feel free to contact Pastor Dale about that. So let's all just take a deep breath and we can begin the service today.
Good morning, church. Okay, so for our call to worship this morning, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and you're going to say, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you have that? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. That is wonderful. One more time with a little more gusto, like you're at an Eagles game. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. This is the time we've been drawn together to worship, to become renewed, refreshed, and reminded that God is our Creator. So let us, with love and affection, and all that is within us, worship God Almighty. Would you join with me now as we confess our sins? Gracious God, you are the one who is ever present to us on life's journey. You know when we struggle, and you know when we give up too soon. When challenge and difficulty confront us, we are prone to complain and blame instead of moving toward you in prayer. We confess that even when we do pray, we do so as a last resort, when we have run out of options. Ever attentive God, strengthen our hearts to move toward you in prayer as part of our daily routine. Remind us that our prayers don't have to be perfect, but instead authentic. Thank you, God, for continuing to bless us when we can't see it, and for loving us during those moments when we find it hard to love ourselves. Amen. You and I can get stuck in our mistakes. We can be trapped by our past. We can become prisoners within our own lives. And yet the gospel, the good news, is that we have been forgiven. We have been set free. We've been liberated to start again, to start afresh, and to start anew. Praise be to God.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my accuser." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
Okay, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. I have a message for you this morning, some exciting news. Come on up and so, do we have, we have two sisters here, correct? And do we have a brother and a sister here? Yeah, two sisters and a brother and a sister. Let me ask you this question. Do you ever fight with your sister? Yeah. Do you ever fight with Daniel? Sometimes. Yeah, I have two brothers, and I fought with them all the time. Yeah, I know, put your hand on your head. It was pretty tough. We shared one bedroom. So there were three boys in one bedroom. Yeah, I know, sounds like agony. Anyway, my brothers and I were really good friends today, but we wrestled a lot when we were kids. I mean, we fought over toys, yeah. And we fought over clothes. I have something in this bag that I need your help with. Do you know what this is? This is a rope. Have you ever played tug of war? Well, we're going to show the congregation how to play tug of war. Daniel, do you want to play tug of war? Yeah. So, okay, we're going to stand up. Okay. And who wants this end? No, Daniel. Yes. All right, Daniel. How about somebody else helping Daniel? And then, do you want to help Daniel? Okay, girls, you come over here and you hold this end, okay? You can hold it right here. Just grab onto it. And I don't want you to be mean, but I want you to give the rope a little tug. Just, can you tug the rope? Pull it tight. Yeah, can you pull it tight? Wow. So, that's called tension. Can you say tension? Tension. So sometimes when we have an argument with our sister or our brother or our friends, there's tension. The rope is tight. Now, I have to tell you something else. Can I have the rope back? Don't play this at home, okay? This is not a good game for home. Maybe in gym class someday. But do you know that God sometimes pulls on us, and sometimes we pull on God? Sometimes we want to know the truth about something. We want to know something because it's bothering us. And so when we tell God in prayer, we're pulling on God a little bit. We're saying, "Hey, God, I need some of your time. I need to tell you how I really feel." Okay? Can you remember that? So God is the kind of God that you can tell anything to, even if you're upset. Even if you're upset, you need to be able to share that with God. You like that, huh? Yeah. It's a good idea. So we usually do a prayer huddle, don't we, at the end of our time together. Do you want to come in? Let's do a little huddle together, because we're friends, right? Yep. Now, do you know the prayer that we're going to say? Daniel, you know it, right? Do you want to say it with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you very much. You did a fantastic job with that. And I'm so glad you have a sister, and you have a sister, and I'm so glad that you have a brother, and that you have a sister. Have a wonderful week, okay?
I grew up in a very small house. And at the age of 12, I shared a bedroom with my two younger brothers. Now, during our early years, my brothers and I shared, well, we mostly shared, toys, television, and the cookies that my mom eventually had to hide because we would eat a whole package of Oreos in one day. Yes. At age 12, my baby sister came along. and I was moved to the bedroom with my two brothers. Through my teenage years, that bedroom symbolized the tension that emerges when three boys are on their way to manhood. Their testosterone flaring and a struggle for space, for dominance, and for respect. Now, I won't get into the particulars of some of our tussles, except to say that it's true. At times, we found ourselves fighting over a particular shirt. Now, my brothers and I are on very good terms with one another. We're close, but those early years were certainly full of emotional and, yes, physical strain. Of course, you and I are well aware of struggle. We're well aware of tension and conflict as human beings. And sibling struggles, well, they're about as common as is the common cold. When we read about the early formation of the people of Israel, a sibling rivalry between two brothers becomes very central. That story begins when Abraham and Sarah, well, they just about fall over because Sarah learns that at age 90, yes, age 90, she is pregnant with a son. Abraham and Sarah name their son Isaac. And of course, Isaac grows to become a man, and he has two sons who were born twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau emerged out of his mother's womb first, but Jacob was right there, right behind Esau, grabbing at Esau's heel on his way out of the womb. How's that for sibling rivalry? Now, this rivalry between Jacob and Esau, well, it got worse. Jacob, this younger brother, ended up swindling his older brother out of the birthright. He ended up cheating Esau out of his double inheritance because as the firstborn, Esau was entitled to twice the inheritance of his younger brother. And not only that, Jacob had forced Esau out of his role as family patriarch. Esau was angry. And now he was out to kill his brother. Things had gotten that bad. And that's the situation when Jacob, fearing for his life, stopped by the edge of a river and slept after sending his family safely across. And it was there in the middle of the night when Jacob wrestled a man whom we find out is God. This time, instead of wrestling with his brother, Jacob ended up struggling with God. And what we learn is that this struggle was intense. Jacob wouldn't let go. God wouldn't let go. And through the night, they wrestled. Jacob would not let go. He would persist. He would struggle to ask God for a blessing, saying to God, "I want you to bless me." And seeing that Jacob was serious about his engagement with God, God blessed him. If you are serious about God, and I see no reason why you wouldn't be, you will find yourself wrestling with the divine. You will find yourself wrestling with God. You'll wrestle with God over questions of injustice. You'll wrestle with God over issues of pain and suffering. You'll wonder where God is in the midst of strife, tragedy, and despair. And deep down inside, you'll wonder if this God, whom you've been worshiping for most of your lives, isn't just a psychological crutch. Your mind playing tricks on you. You'll ask yourself why the church in America that was once so vibrant is now struggling and in decline. You'll also find yourself puzzling over prayer and wondering why a prayer is not answered and why you don't get a date-stamped, printed response from God at your bedside. Yes, you'll wonder. You'll want to wrestle with God. You're going to want to make a one-on-one appointment with God, and you're going to want to have it out with your Creator. So I'm telling you that if you're serious about God, you're going to get annoyed. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to feel challenged. You're going to be disturbed. You'll sense that God seems to be challenging your humanity and your sanity. But just like it was for Jacob, the question is, will you be able to hold your own with God? Will you be able to hold your own with God? Or will you give up and walk away? Will you continue to live afraid and fearful, or would you be ready to become transformed and have your eyes and your ears and your heart opened in ways that you never imagined? In the parable Jesus told about the wicked judge and the widow, we get a stark lesson in prayer. Prayer is not for the faint of heart. Prayer is not reserved for emergencies only. Prayer is not a psychological escape. No, prayer is wrestling with God, having it out, and letting God know exactly how you feel. Prayer is becoming tenacious, resilient, persistent. And it is the portal in which God does some of God's best work. The kind of work that changes your life, changes your perspective. Because God will take you seriously. You might say to yourself, I grew up in a nice Christian church where we're all nice and the prayers are nice. I don't think I could be upset with God. I don't think I could be fierce with God. I don't think I would be or could be determined to argue with God. Well, let me remind you of a prayer that Jesus spoke to God while he was dying on the cross. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me? When I gave my entire life to you. Jesus was challenging God on the cross. But little did Jesus know. In that moment, God was in the midst of transforming him and the entire world through his death. If a crooked judge could be hounded to the point of granting request to a poor widow, then think how much more God can do when you persist in your prayer. Think of Jacob wrestling with God in the middle of the night by that riverbank. Daylight was now approaching. And as Jacob wrestled, God struck him on the hip. It caused Jacob to limp, possibly a permanent limp, a reminder of what had transpired in the middle of the night by that river's edge. However, what happened next was almost as astonishing. The next morning, Jacob knew he would have to finally face his brother Esau, whom he feared would kill him. Esau brought 400 men with him. And as Jacob approached his brother, the brother he had cheated, the brother that he had deceived, Jacob bowed down. And then, instead of attacking his brother, Esau ran to Jacob, threw his arms around him, embraced him, and kissed him. And then the Bible says, the two men began to weep. Something happened at that river's edge. Somehow a transformation happened because of that struggle between Jacob and God. Something that later ended up impacting the reunion between two brothers who had moved from hate to embrace to love. So don't think for a minute that God is a waste of time when you wrestle with God. You never know what God is up to. And that is good news.
We have just a couple of joys to share today. First of all, happy birthday to Stephanie Giampa, who celebrated her birthday yesterday. And based on the Facebook postings that I've been seeing, Addie seems to be having a terrific time with her family down in the Outer Banks. Let us now pray for all the joys and for also for any concerns that people may have. Heavenly Father, we are often provided opportunities in life. By your graciousness, we will be rewarded if we recognize them and are persistent and work diligently to take advantage of them. We also know that life has many challenges which can be overwhelming and even demoralizing at times. They can sap our energy and weaken our resolve. As you have shown us in the lessons of Jacob and the widow, if we are persistent in our faith and persevere, we can overcome these challenges. God, encourage us with this truth so that we will not become weary, knowing that with your help and guidance, our efforts will be rewarded. Amen.
Each Sunday, we have to remind ourselves that we are a gift to the world. You are a gift. And the tithes and offerings that you dedicate to God become divine mysteries that unlock justice, create healing and wholeness for a broken world. And so we gladly and joyfully offer our lives and these gifts to God. O gracious God, who created the world and everything in it, we offer these gifts as a sustaining way of loving your universe and honoring your glory of creation. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are a pilgrim people on the journey of a lifetime. And you are a people called to wrestle for truth, to wrestle for justice, to wrestle for wholeness, to wrestle for love. So now, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.